Hey, it's your girl Oatmeal B, and I'm back in the place to be, out the box. And you already know what's up, you already know who's here too, inside the box, outside the box, it's your favorite intellectual correspondent, Dr. Andrea L. Smith.
What's up, out the box? Hey, y'all.
What?
Hey, y'all.
How you doing, cousin?
I'm doing very well.
Okay. I'm glad you're doing well.
How you doing?
I am doing just fine.
It's been a minute.
Okay. Yes, it has. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, y'all. It's official. March 1st came. It's
March 1st. It's the spring. It's the new year. And you know how we get down.
Yes.
So we're here. We're back. We're energized. We're refreshed. Life ain't stopped. God be gotten. Life been lifing. All of the things, right?
All of the things, all at the same time, all the time.
That's it.
24 is a fool, though. 24 is like, I'm out the door.
We're already in March. Like, it's about to be mid-year in a few months, right?
Yes. People be like, okay, can it just be summer already? Summer's tomorrow. I'm like, please don't say that. Because summer means I return to the things that I am taking a pause from.
Well, hey, listen, I take a pause from the calls of whenever I can, because that's what I do, because I can, right?
Yeah.
So if certain things I can't take a pause from, I don't, but I know how to structure it where I keep my peace. I have peace wherever I am, you know, because peace needs to be within you, because you'll be in situations, environments, and places, whether it's the grocery store, the gas station, your family, your business, your business partners, your boyfriend, your ex, your husband, your wife, your cousin, all of that.
Peace within is that's the true gift of life.
Yes, it is. There's nothing wrong with a peaceful environment. Like, you know, I have the privilege of the pool being outside of my balcony, right?
Okay.
So I hear the fountains constantly, you know, so water brings forth a peaceful mindset. Some people like to sleep to
rain sounds
and things of that nature. I love the beach. You and I, you know, we love the beach, water settings. And so I'm always into that. I'm drawn to that. I'm drawn to the sun. Yeah. So I like to go outside to the park and walk and jog and work out. You know,
it is that time.
Right. Nature.
Mm-hmm.
But those are peaceful environments for some, right?
Yeah.
Forests, woods, camping, you name it. You know, there's so many different, you know, hiking, mountains. There's so many different environments that are peaceful environments. And so as much as we go to those places, you know, for relaxation and a break from our regular scheduled programs, you still need to have that peace within.
Absolutely. And that, you know, I definitely understand everything that you're saying. I know when we talk about these things, it's always coming from this place, unfortunately, of like deep experience that teaches you this. One, as human beings, yes, we need to understand we are like plants. So we're naturally connected to all the things that you mentioned, the sun, the rain, the stars, all of these things. And that peace of mind, inner peace, me saying that's the true gift of life is like, yes, after you've lived a little while, sometimes with inside of your own mind, again, it feels like you're stuck and can't find that peace. And the things that you listed are the things that slowly and gently bring you back to those connections of those parts of yourself that bring you that peace without you having to try to figure it out yourself. Last night, I slept to rain sounds. I sleep to rain sounds a lot. a lot of us actually don't even realize we run in that shower for so damn long before we get into it, because subconsciously our body and our mind and our soul is loving the sound of that water running, sounding like rain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm all about the eucalyptus steam room. So water, that's my thing. That's, you know, for me, you know, everybody has something different, but that's definitely my thing.
Lay you out, lay you out, get that mucus out. That eucalyptus is gonna do it every time.
Okay, and just relaxing. You know, I create a relaxed environment for myself wherever I am. Mm-hmm. And so when I allow people to come into my space, they go, it's so relaxing. Yeah, that's what it is. So don't come in here messing it up. Because then I'm going to have to.
That's right. I'm going to have to kick you out.
I'm going to kick you out. You know, I got to do everything. Open the windows, pray, sage. I'm joking, but I'm not.
Grand opening, grand closing. Take your shoes out, please.
I don't allow... you know, with the boundaries that I have now, you can't come in here if you would all that with all of that.
Your sacred space.
Correct.
Like, everybody don't get to come to the house, boo-boo.
Correct.
So if you coming into my home, you will get a chance to get a part of me intimately. No matter if we cousins, family, other family members, a partner, you know, friends, it doesn't matter. It's such, because just like you, I was very intentional about creating a space that I wanted to be soul rejuvenating. And again, y'all, you know, these come from things where people have been through things. When you seeking peace, it's because you done been through some stuff. But we live to fight another day.
Exactly. And you know, some of us are born peaceful beings. You know, and then as we evolve and as we get older and as we experience life, we come to grips with that. We understand that that's a part of who I am as a person. You know, I always crack the joke that my family got on my mama's nerves when I was in her womb, because I've always been the child that stuff gets on my nerves. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth.
Yes.
It's not that I don't love people, because I do. I love people dearly. You know, I have the love of God in my heart. You know, I want what's best for everyone, but I want what's best for myself. I love myself, right? Yeah. Certain things I may do, like certain foods we eat, you know, certain things I drink, you know. Yeah, I am so not the perfect individual, right? Mm-hmm. I can't speak for nobody else. I can only speak for me. Mm-hmm. So I have overindulged in several things that can be detrimental. You know what I'm saying?
Detrimental.
Right? Some things I know can be detrimental. Other things, it's just the ways of the world and how, you know, the food is processed.
Girl.
You know, what our ancestors didn't know, so we need to learn. Mm. And so, I mean, certain things like that, we don't have control over, right?
I haven't heard that one before.
Haven't heard
that. Our ancestors didn't know that we are now learning. Because I feel like right now, I think I'm like, they knew so much. Like, that I'm going back to try to figure out, can I get the knowledge from them? So that was beautiful to think about it in that way, that we have also learned some things that they did not know. So there has been some evolution, even though sometimes it's like, I feel like this, us going through this phase, this is collectively as remembering things from our people who passed on, remembering lessons that they wanted to teach us, things that they went through so that we don't have to go through. There's always this going back, this reflection, but you're saying, no, we can also bring it forward as well.
Yeah, but it depends on what part of how deep you get.
Yeah.
You know, because we talked about this all the time collectively as a community, as a culture, as a, you know, being Africans in America, and how our history is so remixed. We really have to, if you want to be specific in the ancestral ancestral research. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have what we actually experienced. Okay, and then we have the ancestors, like if you were privileged to have a mother and a father, auntie, uncles, grandma, great grandma. I'm gonna stop at great grandma, right? Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't born from my great great. Or my great. So I only knew my grandmother, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And my mm-hmm. mother, mm-hmm. you know, from down. That's where my ancestral line stopped, of where I visually saw it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so in that time period, unfortunately and fortunately, was the civil rights movement, right? So that's the time period of it was really rough on us.
Yes.
Right? So prior to that, if we take it back, if we start mm-hmm. doing a lot of research before slavery.
Right. Pre-colonial history.
Correct. When we talking about the building of the pyramids, we talking about the mathematicians, we talking about the scientists, we talking about the numbers, we talking about astrology, we're talking about creation.
Mali, Ghana, Songhai, yes, the right. world empires before this one that we
right. Yeah, in. Before, you know, we talk about Kemet, you know, before the Greeks came in, because right. we taught the Greeks. Hmm. How do I know this? Because I decided to research more in depth, because what they want you to think is that you aren't anything.
Exactly. Or you not the thing, the original thing.
Correct. Right. Exactly. So our ancestors, and when I say our ancestors, the ones that we knew, mm-hmm. they knew, but they couldn't necessarily spell it out. Does that make sense? Because they knew who they were, but they were confined to these conditions that they had mm-hmm. to fight against mm-hmm. and find a way to get out. Mm-hmm. And so they was constantly, you know, the ones that became unbrainwashed, that was like, this ain't Come right. On. This Come stuff on. Ain't right. We got to make a move. We got to do something. We got to get up yeah. out of here.
Yeah. So, rebel.
Right. Rebuild. And we come from the rebels.
Yes.
Our ancestors that were in the South migrated to California in the Midwest.
Yep.
And, you know, those places like that. So mm-hmm. Chicago, and people left the South. They left Alabama and Mississippi mm-hmm. and Louisiana and Texas for a better life. They still dealt with certain things, but it wasn't as bad.
Yes. And for our listeners, she's talking about the Black Exodus of the South, also referred to as the Great Migration. It was two waves, you know, two waves. Yes. Our family comes through the first wave.
And the 30s to the 60s, right?
Yeah, they come through both of them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know about this because that's where we come from.
Yeah.
And so a lot of stuff.
And we took Pan African Studies classes in college too, y'all. Like, so take Black Studies courses if you a college student too. Because some Black people don't even take Black College Studies courses. And it's like, you may know Black history, but you also need to be in those classes because it builds a collective and community for your identity when you navigate college systems in ways that really ground you before you and while you move into employment spaces of what you're going to do. How you gonna get it
around?
Yeah,
for sure. It's always open, even if you don't go to college. Nobody's saying that you have to go, but you still want to know who you are, because That's when right. you do get out in this world, you're gonna experience things. Nobody yeah. is gonna be exempt from yeah. certain experiences. But the more you know, the more you open yourself up to unlearning and learning.
That's true.
There's always going to be something for you to unlearn and learn.
Yeah. And we should be taking those classes for so many different reasons. Again, even because you might be taking other things and thinking those other courses, unfortunately, are more beneficial. There's a there's a lack of regard sometimes for Black studies courses. Like, oh, I don't need to take that because, you know, like there's almost like this, like I said, this disregard for Black studies courses. But there's so much that are there. And when you're taking those courses and you're not at an HBCU, sometimes you looking around and it's not Black people that's raising their hands answering those questions.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want, why would you? Why would
knowing you know? The history better than you may know it.
Right. Why would you want somebody to know your history more than you know your history?
Yeah. Mind you, it's still a colonized history. And right. Coming through this lens of like, you got to question every piece of it. But yes, still.
Yeah, because there's some brainwashing that has occurred. And it's still here. It's not going anywhere. There's always going to be a continuous cycle of brainwash. So yeah. You definitely want to be on point intellectually. Absolutely. And that's not when you say that, you know, to come from an intellectual standpoint, that don't mean you're smarter than nobody. No, that means you're thinking on an intellectual level.
Yes. Please think about everything, y'all. Don't let people just feed you information, even if they are a professor or a doctor or a lawyer or a scientist, they are giving you information to go and then go do something with for yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and this is, we can just roll on into, you know, like the current events that's happened right now, happening, which is brainwashing, the cultural things that's happening, us as Africans in America.
Palestine. Right. Genocide. Sudan. It's so many things, right, that make you be like, are we okay? Have you heard about what people are saying? Have you heard about what some people are saying about the solar eclipse that will be happening April the 8th?
I hadn't.
Well, allegedly, solar eclipses, as y'all know, happen all the time. But April the 8th, this particular one is supposed to be on record that there's the shifting of energy where the evil energy is going to be even more centered than it is now. And I don't know how accurate this is, but I'm just saying, like, when you create conversations, like essentially me adding to it right now, create conversations around this. Yes, it can create that level of energy, but at the same time, it's also important for us to think about how different sacred texts have talked about the different world events that we're seeing right now. And even saying that particular one is connected to president number 44 and being put in office. And then we're going to see something connected to this particular empire falling down because of evil. It almost gives you this sense of like hopelessness. But I'm just here to say that is also part of the narrative to make us feel like that, but we need to remain strong and latched on to the things that make us happy and bring us joy amidst all that our spirits and souls are dealing with, and thinking about how can we be of aid, not turn an eye to it, but also not let it take you under.
Yeah, you know, and we see a lot, it's a lot of negativity going on right now. A lot of negative energy, a lot of evil energy. It's been happening. It's not something that's not new. Mm-hmm. It's been here before us, right? But what we're actually seeing now, because there's so many visual contexts that's connected to it, we're seeing it constantly. Constant. So, you know, being able to have a good spirit of discernment, right? Also looking at yourself. That's one thing that all of this should be teaching people is to take a look within. If more people took a look within and stopped their shenanigans, you can stop you understand some of that energy. But what the surface is teaching people is to fight surface, you know what I mean? To look happy, although you may not be happy on the inside, right? To deflect and project versus to look within, right?
Yeah.
If more people look within, if your presidents look from within, if the people in Congress look from within, you know, if everybody look, if the crooked police officers look from within, if the people that are shooting other people and killing them for nonsense, not self-defense, but nonsense, mm-hmm. if they looked within, all of that shit would stop.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you mentioned at the top of the show that you like to go outside, listen to water, be with the elements, essentially. And what we're also seeing is the way nature is responding to these world issues and things that we're seeing with all of the different storms, the climate, doing what it's doing in different places. And if people are looking at the weather as a behavioral standard of like this is the energy in which the world is producing as a reflection of what the weather is doing, you will see that nature is also crying out to look for people to look within and mm-hmm. go and see, because again, using these things for greed, like it's like you said, it's been happening over and over again. Greed, power, you know, the same kind of battle between good versus evil, and then how everybody kind of falls in between. But that look within, the world really could be a better place, right? If it was just that easy. But some people don't want it to be like that. There's something that's going on inside of us that creates that battle, that creates that other side of what we are fighting against. And unfortunately, we have lived long enough to see categories. Categories that are blanketly across different countries, but also categories that impact us all to make us question the decisions of the people who are in leadership. Why are y'all choosing this? Because you're mm-hmm. choosing this, we as the people are now being all impacted, including our nature, our water, our jobs, how high the food is at the grocery store, the lack of real food, these vegetables that are yellow, supposed to be green, just like all of these things. But at the same time, again, if we look to our sacred text, these are signs and wonders of where we are in relation to where we should be as a human with the new earth and what's happening, because the earth is crying out. I really believe that it is.
Yeah, you know, with so much being altered, you know, if you allow yourself to just be attached to that view, right? Then that will say that is what's going on with inside of you as well. But yeah. If you just acknowledge, I know that's going on. You know, I'm not ignoring that this is happening, but you still need to seek out the goodness, you know, mm-hmm. the blessings, the mm-hmm. greatness, the mm-hmm. positivity, because it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we just can't focus on the negativity, which the negativity, as we always state in some of these podcasts, they're going to push that to the top.
Exactly. Energy flows where attention goes. And that's right. What we're questioning. Why do y'all put all the attention on that? What's y'all root? You know, like that's what is the root of all the
setup?
That?
You know, mm-hmm. because somebody's getting some money. That's what I'm saying. It all boils down to some greed. They think that they can't do anything else unless it's done that way, because that way is shown to provide. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from white supremacy. That comes from their, you know, their tactics, their way of doing things. And even you keep going back pre them, you know, some of the kings and the queens that may have had slaves, you know what I'm saying? They may not have done it in the way of what started happening to, you know,
chattel slavery. Yeah.
Right. So, it's a mindset. It's a choice. You don't have to choose it just because, okay, maybe the government is crooked in certain ways or these people are crooked over here. If you feel like you want to join them because you can't beat them, you can beat them. You don't have to be like that. You know what I mean? You really don't.
You're right. But
do you need to be weak? Hell no. But people will take your kindness for weakness.
Yeah.
So we do have to have a balance of when, like we said before, knowing when to hold them, knowing when to fold them.
You got to know what you stand on, which y'all goes back to the knowledge of self. Who are you? What are your morals? What are your values? What decisions are you making in this life that reflect those? Who are you? We've talked for so long, and it's Women's History Month, as you said, right? And we know that when you educate a woman, you educate a nation. And there's been women who ruled and they had no war under their belt. No wars. Mm-hmm. And they reigned for years. Because like you said, it's a mindset. And so you could choose to push this or you could choose to push this. We are very clear that we live in a world where they push war.
Oh, yeah.
Where they push poverty. Where they push inequity. Where they push negativity. And so like you said, that goes to the surface. And it's our job, and we ain't gonna stop to go against that.
Right. And you know, a lot of people are, you know, mad at the Democratic Party and Biden and Kamala based on, you know, Palestine, you know, the things that are going on. And yes, I do sympathize and empathize. But at the same time, this ain't nothing new. It's just a different place. There's a war on the war on us that happened under Donald Trump's reign. The war on the citizens of the of America. That was a war on us. I don't know why people don't see that it was just a civil war. They didn't come in here and shoot us up. They just caused problems. We shooting each other up, right? They shot us up with what's that stuff called? The COVID shots and the disease and all of that. Yeah,
they
shot
rubber bullets during COVID and real bullets during COVID. Yes, that's why we called it genocide. And we still call it genocide, whether the UN acknowledges it, the US acknowledges it. It was a war on us.
Correct.
And it's going to be another one because World War III, that's coming. Trump is going to probably be the president again. Okay, sorry, y'all. I don't want to go on a tangent, but like, all I'm saying is you got to think that it could be the worst situation. So how are you going to show up in the worst situation? Don't hope it don't happen. But if it does happen, what you going to do?
Right.
Are you prepared?
It's like, are you guys forgetting what happened? You know, and it just seems like people forgetting what happened. I know you do not give big ups on a stimulus check. None of them stimulus checks. Girl. For anybody that made, because you wasn't getting a stimulus check if you made less than $100,000. No, more than $100,000, you didn't qualify for a stimulus check.
Everybody didn't qualify for a stimulus check.
Everybody didn't get a stimulus check. So even if you got a stimulus check, they didn't came back and sucked up all that money times four because the cost of living has gone up. You know what I'm saying? Your value meals has gone up. Your flights have gone up. Gas has gone up.
That was premeditated to get you mentally hooked, to psych your mind out.
A brainwash. So now you're worse off than you was
before. Girl, and people said that before the stimulus check even came because history told us there was going to be a stimulus check and people said, and we're going to be worse off than we was.
Right, we was like, they finna get that money back.
Because y'all forget that you get it and then you pay it right back into the same system that just gave it to you.
Yeah. All the PPP loans. Oh, baby, they ain't done getting y'all. They is not done.
They are not.
They locking up people left and right.
It's unfortunate.
It just takes time, you know? So your time will come if you did not do right by it.
No pun to Diddy, but Diddy. I done said your name like four times, but...
What's that got to do with it? I don't know.
What cousin just said, if you didn't do right, it's going to come back around.
But that's in anything, right? I think, you know, we've all... Nobody is perfect. We're all imperfect. So I would never try to sit up and be a perfect peppermint patty because I ain't never been a perfect peppermint patty.
Nope.
You know, but I do try to... Right. I do try to live, you know, with great character, morals, great integrity, And if I'm not, it ain't affecting nobody else but me. Mm. You see what I'm saying? It won't affect nobody else but me if I do something that wasn't quite right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So much tea has happened since we've had this last podcast. I'm just reflecting.
What I mean by that, like, I wouldn't do anything major. I would do something minor. You know, like, no, I'm not paying for this grocery bag in the grocery store. I put a zero. You know what I'm saying? I might do something like that.
She's telling the truth, y'all. She is telling
I'm
the
just
truth.
Being honest. Uh-huh. I have, but I've also paid for the bags. So yeah. What I'm saying is something along those lines.
Girl, last night.
Something that I'm guilty of doing, right? But when you do stuff like that, it's always going to come back. You know,
for
like
some if of
you,
us, yep.
Right, for some of us, it'll come back. So, and it doesn't have to mean it's gonna come back in a bad way. You know, you might end up paying $15 for something that should be $10.
Girl, last night, are you dining in? Or are you taking your yogurt to go? And I was like, what's the difference? Is there a difference in cost? She was like, yeah. There's a California dine-in tax. But if you choose to eat this frozen yogurt here, then we're going to charge you more. I said, oh, we don't want that one. We don't want that tax. And we still sat down and ate. We're like, what?
That's what I'm talking about. Like, something like that, I'm not going to say that I would not do. So I might do it one day. I've done something along those lines, you know?
Now there's a dine-in tax because of COVID. Probably. I don't know. If there might have been a dine-in tax before that, but it just makes so much sense that you can go pick up your food and dip. You can go pick up your food and dip and not stay in there now, right? But now people are opening up again and you are staying. So is this an added tax? I should Google this.
Yeah, everybody's trying to get something. Everybody's trying to get something, you know? And I'm not saying don't make your money, but this gouging, it ain't cool.
You know, they said Black entrepreneurs be gouging.
I think they do. Some of them I can understand because you didn't have the foundation and it's never been an even playing field. But then others, okay, you doing too much. You know what I'm saying? So it just all depends on how you set yourself up.
Yeah. And then also people assume if it's Black, they ask for a deal. Can they get discount, they expect it to be lower, you know, there's also that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I get it, because if you're like, for instance, people want me to start selling sea moss. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why I haven't done it, because I can make it, I got a good recipe, you know, I'm cool, if I take my time, I can make it happen. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, it ain't easy. It's how much do I want to pay myself, right? And then if I say, okay, I'm charging you 50, right? Because I got to ship it to you.
And, one big one?
Huh?
Is that for two or for one big one?
One big one.
Okay.
Not the small jar, but the big jar. So I would have to charge you $50 because I have to ship it to you and then I have to make it and I have to buy the jar. So a lot goes into that. And somebody would say, oh, I can get it for 40. Okay, we'll go get it for 40.
Yeah.
That may be a person that has been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
They have their financial structure set up where they're already making money, right? And they're not going to be losing. Mm-hmm. So what they're paying themselves out of the service that they provide, they're still good with it.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So I get it. I get it in certain instances why it may be more expensive with certain people. And then you don't want to lowball yourself. So like, say you have a luxury, affordable luxury line of fashion product, a clothing brand like Milano, right? Milano is not, it's more expensive than Nike, but it's not expensive as Gucci, you know, or Louis, but she's a Black entrepreneur, a Black business, a Black brand.
That's, we're shouting her out for Women's History Month.
Yes, because that's what the title of this podcast is. We're sorry. You know, we keep it all the way 100 here on I'm Every Woman is the title of today's podcast. And we've just gone in and we're just talking about it and we're just adding it on into the conversation here. But yes, we're going to shout her out. I love her aura. Mm-hmm. I can feel her aura through, I don't know her personally, but I can feel it through her advertisements, through mm-hmm. her clothing, mm-hmm. through her hustle, through her interviews, through her love for God, you know, and the love of taking care of her child and building, and how I see her pouring it back into her employees. This mm-hmm. is something that you can see visibly. Mm-hmm. And you know, she's not forcing it. She's not putting on. She's just letting you in mm-hmm. To her process. And she, because mm-hmm. she documents and she shows us. Mm-hmm. And that's a different vibe, right? Mm-hmm. You can tell that that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're happy for her success. Yes, yeah. I tried to go on the website and order certain things. But every time it's something I want, it don't be in my size or it be gone. Mm-hmm. They rejected my order back one time. And so, you know, I just want to think about it. And I'm looking for certain things. I make sure, you know, I check her out.
Yeah.
And see if it's available.
Y'all go check her out again. That's our icon that we're celebrating on this podcast today for Women's History Month.
Yes, Milano. And there's so many other women that do amazing things, including ourselves. You know, people get caught up in the celebrity view. Mm. That's a small portion of the world, right? How many people are in this world?
Billions
of people in this world. So, you know, don't feel down on yourself about anything. You know, if you're great, celebrate the fact that you're a great mother. Mm-hmm. You know, celebrate the fact that you are, if you work in customer service, shoot, if you get awards and you get your bonus and you own it, you're good at that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. if you're good in retail, you know, you don't, you know, I know we get caught up, not us per se, I'm speaking in general, but with this boss title and the CEO, and let me tell you something, CEO ain't an easy job to have.
Yeah, being the boss is not fun.
Right, you're the last person to be considered. If you, you know, a boss is somebody that's paying somebody to do something else for them, okay? Not just because you want to be titled a boss, no. You got people reporting to you. You're paying others. You're making sure everything else is in line first. Mm-hmm. 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 It's not an easy position. You may get the least amount of sleep. You may get the least amount of rest. Yeah. So, you know, titles are cool to have, but we just have to understand the dynamics of titles.
Yeah. I want to ask you, as a woman, it doesn't have to be related to you being a woman at all, actually. We have talked about, there's just been so many things that we've kind of just briefly mentioned a few, but we've talked about this a lot, how there's always so much kind of going on. So I wanted to ask you, what are some of the recent things that have been on your mind the most in with life and with the world, or it, obviously not personal, but what are some of the things that, you know, you think about in relation to these the world, the politics, the America, where we are today, anything related?
Well, you know, I like to think of myself of a open-minded individual, a high level thinker. I'm challenging myself to learn more. Mm-hmm. And I also look at the world as a game, mm-hmm. the game of life and how to mm-hmm. play it. Mm-hmm. And so there's actually a book I read years ago. It's called The Game of Life and How to Play It. It's still on my bookshelf. Mm-hmm. I probably read that book over 10 times. Mm-hmm. There's some good gems in there.
Mm-hmm. That was a rapper, y'all. Go check that out.
Florence Shin, I think that's her name.
Okay.
There's a couple of things in there you might be like, oh, this lady might have had some help, you know, some helpers. maybe living in the house growing up that was black. I don't know. Certain stuff. But for the most part, I ain't gonna say she was racist because it didn't come off as being racist. But maybe she pulled some things from some research that came from us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which made this book good.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people are pulling information from other places.
Absolutely. That's how we learn.
Compiling it, you know, because I mean,
that's how you learn.
Correct. Cat Williams had mentioned that. I think Cat Williams is very smart.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, he's brilliant. But he's also funny. He also, you know, be telling hot ones and fish.
Hot ones.
You know, so I don't believe everything he states. But when he gets deep and he starts talking about certain things that are definitely true or can definitely spark your brain, yeah, he is definitely a gifted
man
because he was a gifted child.
For sure. But 3,000 books a year, if you even tried to break that down mathematically, when they all third grade level books, I don't know, but yes.
I mean, that could have been them books that, you know, our parents ordered for us back in the day that came in the mail. I can't remember the name of those books, but those are the books that I learned how to read. So I became a high level reader just because that's how it went down, you know? So I understand him in that perspective. Did I read that many books? Heck no. Did he? I don't think he did either. Like you said, Where's the Walrus or whatever the name of them books was. He included encyclopedias and dictionaries, and
they were below grade level.
Yeah, also the fifth grade nothings and all of that. All of that.
But we believe you, Kat, for the most part. We do. We can see through it all, just like everybody. That's the thing I think people keep forgetting about in this world. Is if people are connected, they can see through it. They're gonna feel something, whether it's true or whether it's honest. I'm sorry, or not the truth. People can pick those things up for the most part. Yeah.
Right. And I just see, you know, what else I see is that it's the truth. There's a lot of followers. And there's those that, you know, how Erykah Badu, which is one of my faves.
Contemporary.
How she broke down the percentage of followers. And the people that give the information and the people that can break down the information that actually see what's going on.
And what happens to those people.
Right. You know, so people always want to say, why don't y'all say y'all should be out here talking? Y'all should be saying this. Y'all should be doing it. You should be doing that. First of all, I'm going to do it how I want to disseminate the information out into the world. Am I fearful? No, but I know what comes with being the person that can see it.
Yeah.
Because you can, this is an example that is seen everywhere. You can work for in any industry, any industry. When you start calling out stuff and you're seeing stuff, they're going to say that you are the problem.
Absolutely. I'm that person on my job. I'll just be very transparent and say that.
You become a problem when you, in any situation, in a, like you said, in a job setting, in the entertainment industry. Yes, Kanye has a big ego, but Kanye be calling out the problem. And so that's a problem, right? Because then they say, well, you shouldn't have signed up because you already knew. And then that's where we have to check ourselves and say, you know what? So then you have to decide how you gonna play the game. That's all I'm saying.
You know, full transparency. Shout out to the Black director, Maurice. I've gotten into it with directors before, not because I'm like arguing with them, not like that, but like you said, like maybe you calling out something that just didn't make sense, but you said it in front of everybody, whether it was honestly or not. And because you did, or because I did, it put a target on me instantly of being resistant. to the experience, the process, the whatever it is, to being resistant, and that leaves a bad taste in people's mouths when you are the one that's creating the resistance. But then I had to figure out, you know, wait a minute now, do you want to do other things? Because the director could write letters of rec, the director could tell people about you being so resistant, and how is that going to impact your future? So what you going to do? You going to keep pointing it out in front of everybody, or are you going to pull her to the side and have a direct conversation from a place that still honors who you are and also honors where they are? And I had to make that decision, because I may have been just pointing something out that didn't make sense, but what I was pointing out and the way and how and all of these things, who are you to be pointing this shit out? You better sit your ass down and do your part. And so then you're like, well, yeah, I'm not actually the boss, am I? Hold on. But we do have to figure it out. We do. But at the same time, do I stand on what I said? Yes. Because I'm a person who's going to push when things don't make sense. I'm a person who's going to push when things don't make sense, just naturally, without even thinking about it. But on the end of it all, we have to do it in a way in which it can be received. Otherwise, it's pointless.
Yeah, exactly. And we're all imperfect. And experience is the best teacher, right? And so it's like, you asked me how I see it. That's how I see the world. Yeah. In all types of situations, you know, you may be the black sheep of the family, mm-hmm. and somebody can look at black sheep. Somebody's definition of black sheep may be negative, when it's actually reverse. The black sheep is 99% of the time the one that stands on business, on truth. And to the rest of the family, you are the villain, because you won't go along with the shenanigans.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
You posted this.
This is all over the place. Like, you can, so many people that are black sheeps talk about this. It's a well-known yes. truth. This is yes. not, you right. know, oatmeal making it up, because mm-hmm. she might just be that individual in her family in certain instances. No, this is everywhere. Everywhere. It is the stone cold truth.
And to flip that person has decided to feel the pain. That's the meme I thought that you, I was saying that you posted. I saw other people post, like, the black sheep in the family is the one who decided to feel the pain enough to help make a change.
Right. And you are normally born that way.
Yes.
So it's not something that you decide to
be. Gift. God
right. You don't decide to be that. That's who God allowed you to, who he created you to be on this earth.
On purpose.
On purpose. And if you go back and you look, everything in your life seems to be different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it starts way when you came out. You was born.
That was a soul contract.
It wasn't your choice, but yeah. It is your choice.
Yeah.
If you be like, so I gotta do this, this, and this,
yeah,
which is totally wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In order to have, you know what I'm saying?
No, for real. I feel like generationally, we've been talking about this. Some people say generally generational curses or generational trauma or generational issues. But I do believe each of us, and this is just my own personal belief, y'all, we did make many soul contracts, some with people, but one with God, right? One with Source, where God is like, I'm going to put you agreeing to be put in a family that's dealing with depression, that's dealing with violence or alcoholism or loss of a children or single
molestation.
Family or poverty, molestation. I'm going to put you, are you willing to be put in that family to help have to potentially go through that to show your family how to heal from that? And we said yes. And all of us said right. Yes, we are here now in these families, and we made these agreements, And some of us are responding to what's happening to us in this way of like, what the fuck? No. Instead of sitting down being like, okay, wait a minute. Like you did. My whole life, when I think about this, things have been different. And be reflective on like, what is this and how is God using this for my purpose? Because usually our pain is the story he wants us to tell, or God, she wants us to tell.
Right.
And you, the media tells you to stray away from that and give this false narrative. But in fact, God wants you to share that pain.
Right. Because you can't, if you're going to be true to who you true you really are, not what somebody else says that has not walked in your shoes and walked your journey, because we all have individual journeys, even if you're born in the same family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your bloodline, you still have individual journeys because nobody is the same.
Right.
So right. My journey is different. I'm not trying to be. Everybody's journey is different. Mm-hmm. Nobody's journey is the same. You know, but what I realized about myself, because I look at everything, everything, I'm like, okay, you know, from what schools I went to, from, you know, my mindset, from all of the stuff that I was exposed to, because everybody has a different experience. So you might have some commonalities in there. You know what I'm saying? Or it might be time periods where you do experience some of the same things, but overall, you're going to experience different stuff. And so, and that's just in life, period.
Yeah.
And so like, we're talking about I'm every woman. Mm-hmm. I want to break that down into what it is for me, you know, before we wrap it up, and then you can break it down into what it is for you.
Okay.
For me, as a woman, I am a natural nurturer. I was also taught to be domestic. I was also taught to ask questions, question anybody, question the pastor, question the Sunday school teacher, question the teacher, not challenge them.
That's a difference, but, y'all.
Right. Not challenge, but ask questions for clarity. You know why? Because the way somebody may be teaching something may be wrong. So you may need to go back and read for yourself and then ask them so you can have the understanding. You know, we live in a world now, people feel like they don't have to. In certain things you don't, but in certain things you should. Because people have gut feelings, people have intuition, then people have trauma eyes. You know what I'm saying? People have negative experience eyes. So you're projecting versus actually knowing. And people will swear up and down they're coming from intuition and gut. And no, you're not. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not correct in your surface analyzation, or in if you got something from somebody else. If somebody told me, oh, Dr. Moore is mean and rude, she's a mean and rude professor. I could take that and be like, okay, she is mean and rude, and then watch every move you make, our facial expression or something that you do that correlates with that, and be like, yep, she is.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, what? Like
that actually happens to me all the time. Unfortunately,
you know, but that's not correct. That's not correct. Cause I don't know Professor Moore, Professor Smith. If I don't know her, even if somebody told me that, I'm not going by that. That's me. Because I know people be on shenanigans. You know what I'm saying? Even people that I've known, people that had titles, money, know a lot of people or what have you, and be messy and gossipy is all outdoors. They don't see things they're truly not open-minded, okay? But they think they are. Because if they were open-minded, they would know that there's so many chapters of a book that you don't know about the person that you're talking about. And then I noticed that you only big up them. You only big up negative stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you really have to be aware and cognizant of where you're getting information from, even if you know the person, or even if it's a pastor, even if it's a teacher, even if it's a CEO. Like, you really have to know how to have. So when I say spirit of discernment, I really mean it. Like, you really have to have a spirit of discernment.
Yeah.
Because so many people give out bad and wrong information.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then so many people are hurt by the bad and wrong information. And then you don't want to be called shady, but you shady if you did that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's how I look at you. As I'm just giving a whole overall analyzation of what you said. That's how my mind operates. You know, I'm an open-minded individual, so I'm going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. And can you decrease your A all the way down to an F? Surely you can.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Do I need to get down to the F before I determine that's what way we going? Uh-uh. I'm a no at C.
Yeah.
Because I give, again, everyone the benefit of doubt to have bad days. You're imperfect, so you're not going to always be this happy-go-lucky person. Mm-hmm. Who is? Because I'm not. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Am I angry? No. Am I bitter? Absolutely not. Do I get mad? Absolutely. Do I have certain anger triggers? Absolutely. Like, we have to allow ourselves to be human.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And that's something that I see people just so surface and so, you know, all the talking heads. It's like, allow people to be human.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's why sometimes I'll show another side, a little snippet piece of myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, oh, I know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I just don't feel the need to respond.
Yeah.
But I'm going to need you to back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to back.
Yeah.
Because, see, you don't want to say, like, you know, I ain't no killer, but don't push me, because then people will push you to see if you a killer. Right. Yeah. And then guess what? You're going to get in trouble for being the killer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just like certain things that I see is like, you know, y'all love on yourself, embrace who you are. You know, I'm every woman as far as womanhood is concerned, what womanhood is embodies for each of us. Some of the things are, you know, we're going to have commonalities, and some things are going to be different because each person has different responsibilities.
Yeah.
I am a multi-dimensional person, multifaceted. It is what it is. So you can't box me. You know, you can try. And just because you try and you see me doing something different don't mean I'm trying to be somebody else. No, I am somebody else as well. But your mindset does not comprehend that. Mm-hmm. So once you comprehend that, you'll be able to see me for who I am when you understand that I'm multidimensional and so many different aspects, and that I had to embrace that, you know, on so many different levels for myself.
Yeah, I understand that.
Because it was like, this is who I am. Because people be like, well, who are you? Or they want to just, oh, you just West Coast Jackie. You know, West Coast oatmeal, whatever. But then there's, oh, then you're the AKA Jackie or the AKA oatmeal. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, then here's the spiritual person, you know, that loves the Lord, oatmeal and Jackie. Oh, okay. And then there's this professional, you know what I'm saying? Corporate and professional. Yep. Oh, and then there's this media personality. Yeah, I'm all of that.
Yeah.
Okay, and now guess what? You know, I'm actually showing more side of the health and wellness on another level.
Yeah,
I used to be the smoothie queen. I was always mixing up my Nutribullet smoothies, you know, the blender, mm-hmm. all of that, showing it every day, mm-hmm. pushing it for us to do better, drink our vitamin water with the fruits and vegetables in it. Yeah, I was doing that at one point, mm-hmm. showing everyone. Mm-hmm. That don't mean that I've stopped doing it personally. No, I just started showing it again, but now it's on another level because I've showed that natural herbs that I use, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I've elevated my options yeah. for myself, which yeah. I've always, not always, but in my later years have used them, but now I use different ones and I use more because guess what? I've learned more.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just having a conversation this morning with the kids about what's the difference between vitamins and medicine. And they struggle to answer, you know, they're trying. But again, y'all, we want to take vitamins so we don't need the medicine. That's a big difference of like being proactive versus having to be reactive. Yeah. And when you post all of those things, what I appreciated is that you actually let people see what the label was. Because oftentimes you're interested in what somebody's showing, but it's so fast, you don't get a chance to actually see, or they don't actually show you the information. And so I appreciated you actually showing what each thing was, enough time for people to read it, to see like, oh, okay, well, what is that? Because maybe they are being exposed for the first time to that form of self-care. Yeah.
Yeah, some people were being exposed for the first time. It was a reminder for others. It was a jump start. I mean, a restart, you know, a refresher for some, mm-hmm. you know, and I have my two groups that, you know, I'm like, hey, we are on this together. Mm-hmm. I'm sharing it with you if you would like to join me. Yeah. But I've been on it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to continue to do it because I've had different health problems, you know, not anything major, but it could be something as far as skin or mm-hmm. nails or, you know, eyesight, mm-hmm. just whatever, energy, immunity, all of that. It's mm-hmm. very important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff that I take helps for all that. And it definitely works. Yeah. My metabolism, my energy level has been amazing. Not on a jittery way, not in a, it all natural. And I've been on it, baby.
Come on.
Yes. Yes, my skin is glowing. Yes,
it is. You always have really pretty skin too, though. You always have had really pretty skin. Yeah. Never, you don't have blemishes or acne or nothing.
I do be having a little da-dun-da-duns, but you know, I try to do stuff to take care of them sometime because, you know, I'm a picker. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. I pick. Mm-hmm. I got pick spots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Y'all's a whole community of pickers out there. They got some fellow community members right now saying, me too, girl. I'll be picking them. They enjoy it to watch the stuff come out. It's the whole thing y'all like.
Yeah, I'm a picker. I'm not a nail biter. People that have got nubs, I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. But there's people that, you know, bite nails. There's people that pull out their eyelashes. People that pull out their eyebrows. You know, there's so many, you know, I used to be a head hitter, you know, the head, because tap your weave, but I don't wear no weaves no more, so I don't have to tap it no more. You see what I'm saying?
It don't be itching like that, y'all. The scalp is not irritated like that no more.
Yeah, I went through a whole process, which we'll talk about that later. That's another part of a journey that I'm going to talk about and share. That's and expose good. Because good. It's a testimony that I can, and it's definitely going to help some more people. Yes. I can tell you, you know, child about mm-hmm. doubt, because you never know what somebody has gone
absolutely.
Through.
Absolutely. And that one is a big one.
Yes, it is. It's a big one. It's a big one. It's a big one. Yeah. So, I'm every woman. What about you? You give me your, you know, you give us your take, you know, on that before we wrap it up.
Okay. My definition isn't as different from yours as I was thinking about it. When I think about I'm every woman, the first things first is I hear Whitney screaming and singing it so loud. I just like hear her like right here singing I'm every woman and how it's all in her. And then Shaka, right? I think about Shaka Khan. Mm-hmm. But then I just think about me as what kind of woman am I? Like, you know, I take it to myself personally, and like, what does every woman actually mean, and why did she even say every? And I think about the multiple things that I do on a daily basis: motherhood, sisterhood, auntie, mentor, student, teacher, little sister, big sister,
daughter, cousin.
I think about all of these things, that all these different hats that we get to play. But I also think about the different ways of I have decided to engage with my time and creativity, and what I'm a part of and what exists around me. And, you know, I really appreciate the fact that we don't have to be one thing, because I also feel like I'm multiple things. And, you know, people kind of look at me strange when they sometimes hear me say, yes, I'm a professor, but also you might hear me say, fuck it up one time. Like, you might just see me like say some other stuff. And like, I think being able to be soft and hard and, you know, all of these things at the same time is like the beauty of accepting how God made us. And so I think every woman is that woman who is taking care of herself, and she's leading a team. She might be the lead janitor on her job. She might be doing the garden work. She might be running, you know, a company with 5,000 employees. She might be the grandmother in the kitchen making the buttermilk biscuits, and who's retired. I just think about all of the representations that I've been blessed to see as women, as Black women in particular. I think about, and how they have paved the way for us so much. And what I owe to those women that I come from as I move forward, how am I, one, honoring? So it makes me think about like what you said, because I agree with your definition. But to add to that, it's like what I owe these women as I continue to carry, you know, what they have given me, and how does that align with what I owe God in this lifetime? And am I doing that? So it put me more in a agreeance of your definition, but also a more of a reflective state of life. So how are we continuing to keep this legacy of what our ancestors, and in this case, the woman, have fought and taught us to do, that's going to benefit the generations that come after us? Because sometimes as a woman, that work feels heavy, that work feels hard, that work feels like it's my responsibility and my obligation, when it's probably not.
Right. And it, you know, a lot of people don't even look at it like that. You know, I know that I always, first and foremost, I live for God, right? Mm-hmm. I push, I strive, I fight for that, you know, for the word of God, the living word to live in my heart, my mind, my eyes, my mouth, my soul, my spirit, all of that, right? And so, and we're, you know, you got to be precise what God you're talking about, because I'm not talking about no idol gods. I'm not talking about, you know, anything evil. I'm talking about pure and positive and holy. Now, I'm not holier than thou. You know, I'm not on the path of, you know, we use words freely, and now I think is coming back to bite us when we use certain words too freely, right? Mm. And so when we say, I'm a church girl, what do you mean? You know what I'm saying? Because we all, it's a different meaning for everybody. Everybody, it doesn't mean the same thing. I grew up in the church, okay? And the things that happened in my church were good for me, because they groomed us in a 360 type of way, meaning I was exposed to great women, you know, nurturing women, strong women. I was, you know, groomed to not be fearful, to step out, to do things, to be active, to be sisterly, to be together. You know, all of this stuff happened at my church. So a lot of people, let me tell you a few people that did go to my church, right? Lamar Lubin went to my church. He was a member of DRS.
Okay.
Celine, this is for my homies. About two or three of them, actually, you know, of the original members, went to my church. They could tell you the same thing. Victoria Monet, I was already too old, so she came in after me. They went to my church.
Wow, super talented people. All y'all came to church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of people. There's Bloom and Plume. He's on social media. He's out there in LA. He has a flower shop. He's done a lot of stuff for a lot of different celebrities, a lot of professionals, just everybody, locals. He's there. His grandmother is the grandmother who I posted on my Instagram page that had all the hats on. Okay. She was over the little kids from before me until I was grown.
Okay.
All of the little kids and the youth. And he comes from a big family. So his mother is the daughter of Mother Kennedy with the hats.
Okay.
And he's the one who got her going viral.
Wow.
Online. Okay. His uncle was my choir director. Like, this, it's deep. It's deep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is Snoop Dogg's family. It's his cousins as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was talking to Lamar a couple of months ago, sometime last year. He was like, you know, Snoop Dogg, you know what I'm saying? His cousins with the Kennedys. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, I talked to him one day. He came to Vacation Bible School one time. We were just laughing about it, right? But, you know, just all to say, you don't have to be a celebrity to be, you know what I'm saying, to be of worth, to have great, you know, a great presence in this world, to have poured into your people, your community, to evolve them, to grow them, to give back to each one, teach one. Mm-hmm. I come from that. Mm-hmm. So I'm always going to do it in whatever way that I can, mm-hmm. whether it's physical, whether it's this podcast, mm-hmm. wherever my presence is, I'm just going to be that because mm-hmm. that's who I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've had to learn that sometimes you don't need to always do that because people may think differently, you know, like, what? I ain't asked you for that, right? Like, you're right. You didn't, you know, but this opportunity is there, you know. Beyonce yeah. gonna pick it up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People love Beyonce, but Beyonce will go pick it up and utilize it and use it and make something popular, you know, bigger than it is, but it also helps her, right?
Yeah.
When she partnered up with the HBCUs, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure. And HBCU needed that.
We didn't have to tap into nobody else because Beyonce picked it up, did that partnership, right? You know, Ivy Park, Adidas, Grambling and all HBCUs and her homecoming, that was dope.
That's major. Like, correct. Sacred is her mother's product, but they know campaign management. You know, they know campaign management. They've been doing this.
Doing it. You know, look at the Super Bowl entertainment halftime. That's because Jay-Z is on board.
Oh, absolutely. And Usher has been, you know, doing his residency in Vegas. So that was like perfect. He ain't really got to put too much together. He got sets already ready to go.
You know, some people was like, oh, that was all Atlanta. It wasn't all Atlanta.
Yes.
It was culture. You know, you had the bands, you had the fraternities, you had Atlanta, you had right some of his his movements were Marvin Gaye, you know, paying tribute to Marvin Gaye. There was so much encompassed in that, but it was definitely because somebody else is sitting on the board, you know what I'm saying, that you have to get, sometimes you have to get inside to make certain changes, right? You know, so I love Beyonce and Jay-Z because I be seeing what they be doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it can be a little risque, but they have gotten to a certain level and gotten in certain doors where they can do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When she had on the Black Panther outfits when she did the halftime Super Bowl show in the Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I saw what was going on. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. And the Bay, y'all, being home of the Black Panthers, right?
Right.
So her having that history and that knowledge, she's able to layer it in that way.
Yeah. I'll be loving them. I'll be cracking up, but I love it because I can see it because my third eye is open.
And
you know,
her third eye is open, and she knows Black history. So that's also, again, very important. That's our message for this month as well.
Right, because we didn't have a podcast so last month. So we're mixing in our Women Histories Month with the Black History.
We celebrating women all month because that's just what we
all
do.
Month.
And also, once you learn some Black history or your own history, go venture out to learn some other cultures' history as well. You probably know a lot about European history in America, but maybe, you know, learn some other cultures' history because people's culture is so beautiful. It's so fun to learn about food and music and fashion and practices. So many people still practice sacred honoring of their ancestors in so many other cultures that maybe don't show up in the European lens, but so many other cultures do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, we all about layering it in.
Yeah.
I love everybody. You know, I'm a person, I'll say it right here on this podcast. If I met someone that was not of my ethnicity, mm-hmm. and we love each other and we get along and it's cracking and he wants to know or knows about my culture, I'm going to marry him. You know what I'm saying? If he wants to marry me, I don't care if he's Black, Puerto Rican, Haitian, Indian, you know, Asian descent, that I don't
mm-hmm.
care.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, it's not going to take away from
no
me being who I am and what I speak, what I learn, and what I know.
Yeah.
And who I am as a person.
Yeah, I understand that too. I really do. I know sometimes when we move into our Pan-African Black bag, it's like, no, black only. But also when you think bigger, you know, about God and about love and who, if we get out of the box when it comes to our relationship or partner or mate list, sometimes the person you would least likely choose is the person perfect for you. So I think what you said is important. Again, for listeners, I have a very close sorority sister who, you know, was interested in finding her person and decided I'm going to go on dates with people I would never go on dates want. And then she got to a point was like, do I like this person? Oh my God, I think I might even be willing to kiss this person. But what was interesting is like, oh, I need to get approval from my friendship circle. I need to get approval from my family. This internal thing of like, I need the approval from those that I respect before I can move forward. And I remember she came to us, not saying I need your approval, but like, I think I like this person and I don't know how it scares me, basically, is what she was saying, because mm-hmm. they're not of the same racial or ethnic background. And we were like, friend, if you like this person, then lead with that. If they're treating you well, then lean into that. Yes, we're going to make jokes because that's just what we're going to do as your sister. But we, at the end of the day, respect you and love you and going to love this person if they treat you right.
Yes.
And they okay. will just have to know that even though we're joking, I mean, even though we're making the jokes, we still are going to accept them and love them as well.
Yeah. For sure. You know? So I'm all about you love who loves you. I am not prejudiced or racist,
mm-hmm.
socialist, classism. I don't subscribe to any of those things.
I might subscribe to...
Well, you know, when mm-hmm. I say that is because...
I don't know what a socialist is, but... I don't know what that
is. It's basically like social status.
Oh, yeah.
No, I say that because, you know, I've been around everybody of every social class. And just because somebody is bawling out of control don't mean that they spirit is as, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, in spirit. What do Fab say? Some people so rich, all they got is money.
Right. You know, I love Fab. That's my dog. He be cracking me up. He my dog in my head. He don't know it. You know what I'm saying? But he be preaching. It. He be preaching. He be teaching. He be teaching. Preaching.
Yeah.
Stanley Sunday sermons. Huh?
He definitely is another, it's Women's History Month, but he's another person who exemplifies being all the things.
Yeah, I'm proud of him. I support him totally. Yeah. We got to run on down there to the Dope Era store again and chop it up. But he's doing a lot for everybody, for the community.
Yeah, the thug therapy is huge.
Yeah.
Necessary. Yeah.
Yeah, so... I'm every woman. It's all in me. It's all in you.
Y'all heard that? She held the tone.
You know, I got to come on back to the microphone one day soon. But, you know, being all of this.
Give us a bar for Women's History Month out the door. Come on. Give us one bar.
One bar?
One line.
What?
One line.
Like a freestyle or something that I've already done.
Whatever comes to
you. Or you want me to rap?
Whatever comes. It could be a rap. Whatever comes to you. Just a one. Give us one bar out the door.
One bar out the door.
I'm enjoying being back, y'all. I miss y'all. I'm super excited for what this year is going to be for y'all. So keep tapping in. Cousin about to lace you up.
Well, you know, people don't know Angela Wimbush and a lot of the old school R&B divas are my fave.
Yes.
I started setting up my studio. I have to show y'all with the R&B diva theme.
Oh.
So we're going to go ahead and show some love to one of my faves, Angela Wimbush, and I'm gonna go ahead and sing a little bit of Angel.
Oh,
you ready?
Yeah.
All right. The sun can rise and set with no regrets. I can forget all about my blues. My life can take direction now, and peace of mind came shining through. You know you lift me up when I'm torn down. You brought me out of this lost and found. I found an angel, yeah. Angel, that's it.
Hey, come on, y'all, go listen to that right now. Angel
is the song. And oh, Smile. Woo. I would have gave y'all a little bit of Kelly Price of It's Gonna Rain, but I had to step way
because
we would mess up the whole podcast, because I have to be able to open up my lungs and
We should let you play a little on each podcast.
No, we just gonna have to do that when we see each other in person. And
on the way out, give him a little something. Give him a
No.
You already gave him a little something today, but
that was just a little something. That wasn't even really nothing.
Next time,
I wasn't really feeling it. I just did it. When I'm feeling it, I don't even be knowing it be coming out sounding good. Good. That is hell to know.
Yep. Well, so we'll give y'all a little more. I'll keep talking to her about giving y'all a little more, because you know she can come out here and give us the R&B, the soul, the gospel, the gospel hip hop.
Gonna tell it. Listen to me.
Ooh, I'm not the singer in my family.
Right.
I know these songs.
I be training her.
She's making me sing, y'all.
Like she is Tina and I'm Ike.
Literally. No.
It's funny. We have to show y'all too. We gotta show y'all more of our personality. We're gonna show our face. It's coming right around the corner. Don't trip.
Coming to you in your
flip the script
device.
Just a little something.
You get anyway, to see us.
We gonna wrap it on up. We a little bit of long-winded, but you know, hey, it is what it is because we ain't been here in the biz in a minute. You can, you know, listen to it, stop it, pause it, start it back again, but it's all good, my friend. It's some gems in there. We're so happy to be here. We back. We ain't never left. We just took a break because we can, and that's what you're supposed to do. So you can re-up and come back and give it more and give more and give more. So is there anything else you'd like to say? Dream, Dr. Andrea L. Smith, Moore, all of the names.
Man. All right. So, yes, I'm officially Dr. Dream. Y'all, thank y'all for listening and stay out the box.
Stay out the box. Spark your brain, baby. Think outside the box. Happy Women's History Month. Until next time. Peace and hair grease.